This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the final segment of your Sunday Spin for this Sunday. Glad to report that the rain has now changed to just a little light drizzle, but still pretty foggy out there. Streets are wet, as you heard, accident on the Kennedy. Just take it easy on this Sunday morning and get your week off to a nice and safe start. Joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase Studios, my good friend Brian Bernadoni. Brian is the Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors. Brian, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
I know you wanted to offer some condolences.
This past week, the public affairs and real estate community was saddened by the sudden loss of Nat Paxson, who worked on public affairs for the House Republicans, BOMA Chicago, and the Realtors. He was a loyal advocate, an honest advocate on our issues. He's not one of those lobbyists we talk about in the industry that are doing things wrong. Nat always did it right. It was a sudden loss. He'll be missed. His father, Kenneth Paxson, works for the Chicago Tribune, sports editor. From our family and from the larger real estate and public affairs family to theirs, we express our great condolences on that loss.
And ours as well. Ours as well. I wanted to have you on the show because I know that you've been following events in Washington, particularly on the issue of tax reform. And, you know, it seems kind of interesting to me that now that the Republican efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare have gone by the wayside, the next talk is, well, now we're into tax reform. And, of course, now there's a great deal of question with, given the divisions that existed over Obamacare repeal and replace, whether tax reform is even doable or not.
You know, unlike health care reform, there was a lot of bipartisan work that's already been done on tax reform. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that bring anyone who was watching what's going on a little bit of pause. Clearly what we saw in D.C. this week, and I was in D.C. this week to see some of this, you have a situation where something blows up like this. Well, tax reform has been structured. Both the House Republicans and House Democrats have some similarities about their tax proposals in the past. The blueprint is pretty clear about what it wants to do. So I think those who want to just throw tax reform underneath the same underneath the same truck as health care reform are probably making at least a short-term tactical mistake.
Because of the advance work.
There's been a lot of advance work on it. Look, there are three main parts of this tax reform thing that realtors are concerned about. The mortgage interest deduction, which, you get when you buy a home. I mean, it's one of those great enticements to buy a home. 1031 exchanges, which are usually more delegated to larger commercial transactions, but an area that we need to watch. But perhaps most importantly, state and local tax deductibility.
I like the acronym SALT.
Yeah, too much salt is a problem. And I think if you look at the 35 other states across the country that don't have a high property tax reliability, they don't really care about state and local tax deductibility. But if you look at the 15 largest states that produce and rely on a lot of property taxes, that state and local tax deductibility is really important. And it doesn't have to be me telling you that when you're filling out your income tax, if you itemize, you know how important that state and local tax deductibility is. And that really is on the table.
Well, and I know in some delegations, not necessarily the Illinois delegation, but in other states, that in essence, they view that deductibility is almost some kind of a federal subsidy to high property tax states.
Yeah, that really comes from the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation has done a really good job of pushing the agenda that if you get rid of state and local tax deductibility, local governments just won't pursue property taxes as part of their mix. The problem with it is it just doesn't disappear. If you take a look at a complex state like Illinois, where property taxes are your main source not only for pension funding but more importantly for school education funding, you can't just make that disappear without people feeling an incredible impact. I had the pleasure of being able to talk to Mayor de Blasio out in New York when he was in Chicago, and I asked him a pretty direct question about what's most important to you about all the different levels of tax reform, and strangely him and Governor Cuomo have one area where they're really on the same page, and it really is the importance of state and local tax deductibility. I think consumers are going to have to take a look at their taxes. I think as a realtor association, we're going to be taking as much of a lead role as possible in reminding people of how important that state and local tax deductibility is. 15 states across the nation are going to get really hit by this, and they're very big populous urban states. And when you remove that amount of deductibility off your taxes, folks are going to feel every bit of every tax increase, which strangely works into the Heritage Foundation argument, which is if folks are really angry, maybe government will stop doing it. But structurally, I think, as Senator Biss said, it's an important part of the whole governmental mix.
You know, it was interesting when I had Senator Peter Roskam, or Representative Peter Roskam, on the show.
Not a senator.
Now, Congressman Roskam, who is the head of the Tax Policy Committee of the House Ways and Means Committee, which is the tax writing panel. And when I brought up this issue of, like, state and local tax deductibility, he didn't directly address the question as much as to say what the goal is to basically come up with a system that increases the standard deduction to the point that you wouldn't itemize in some way that would cover everything. And also about the what the national figure is for the number of people who actually do itemize.
Yeah, I think looking at a national figure on this is a real problem. I think you need to go back to the Tip O'Neill axiom that all politics is local and really take a look at what that local analysis is. You know, one of my favorite ways of approaching this is a pretty simplistic way, but I think it's pretty straightforward, that if you take a look at a $250,000 home in Chicago, it's going to pay less than a $250,000 home in suburban Justice or Willow Springs, which is going to pay less than a $250,000 home, for example, in Carroll Streams or Wheaton. That deduction means a lot. For state and local tax deduction, for folks who don't really understand it, it's actually a deduction that grows over time, because if the value of your home goes up over time, and most homes, you know, barring what happened in 2008, your value of your home goes up. As the value of your home goes up, your assessment goes up. As your assessment goes up, the rate, the value of your tax deduction, your property tax, goes up. That's all part of the state and local tax deduction. That increases over time. It's very rare that you see a property tax rate go down.
Unfortunately.
So that value goes up. The mortgage interest deduction, while is equally important, but it reduces over time. So the mix of those two, the mortgage interest deduction and the state and local tax deductibility, are absolutely critical for home ownership and for real estate. Most people don't have diversified portfolios, which are favored very much in the Republican blueprint from a stock standpoint. But most people invest in their homes, and that home investment, that state and local tax deduction, that mortgage interest deduction, have long been sacrosanct. And, you know, the times are changing, but it shouldn't change for that part of the investment portfolio of America.
We're speaking with Brian Bernadone, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue, joined in studio by Brian Bernadone, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors, / Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field historian.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of the year. There's some really good Twitters out there that are showing what's going on at the ballpark and how the ballpark is getting ready for opening day, which I personally can't wait for.
A very unique opening day.
This is a good one. This is the one that we haven't had at Wrigley Field. The last time the ballpark actually had a World Series pennant raising ceremony was back in 1908 at the old West Side Grounds over on Taylor Street. This is the first time it's ever going to happen at Wrigley Field.
Just amazing. Well, I know you have an event coming up.
Yeah, there's going to be a great event happening over at the Cliff Dwellers Club on March 31st on Friday. The door opens up at 4:30, and the program's going to follow around 6:15. You can go to the Cliff Dwellers website for a little bit more information, but it's going to be a lecture, actually, on the history of Wrigley Field. And I've been giving tours there for 20 years, and it's going to be exciting to share a little bit of my knowledge with some folks over there.
Well, and a lot of knowledge, yes, I might add.
I appreciate
as well.
That.
And I think you have also another.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting to be in the Showcase studio, and it really, people should stop on by even in the rain. But we're across from the beautiful realtor building here, and that's the building that Bob Newhart, who aren't familiar with it, it's the building that Bob Newhart used to work in when
he was his psychiatrist.
That was his psychiatry office, and the Salvation Army is going to be recognizing Bob Newhart at a civic luncheon on Friday, May 12th. 2017 over at the Hilton Chicago, and with Bob Newhart being there, it should be a pretty exciting thing. You can go to SALA or SalvationArmyChicago.org, and you can register there. This is a good event for a really good cause, and Bob Newhart is really a national treasure, and by the way, a great Cub fan.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I remember actually seeing his tweets during the World Series.
You can just think about the Abraham Lincoln meeting the PR guy, and those are just some of the great. Hey, Abe, are you using those envelopes we sent you?
Brian, let's go back to the government issues at hand, and I know. One thing that you've expressed concern about is it's known as RLTO. Would you explain?
Yeah, the Residential Landlord Tenant Ordinance. We're working at a pretty good pace right now and reaching out to landlords about an important change to it, where we're going to be changing the word shall to may. It's amazing that judges actually want discretion when they're ruling on cases, and you don't have that within the Chicago RLTO. So we're really excited that Alderman Moore and others are looking to bring this to a hearing, and I believe it's going to happen as soon as June. So I think it's one of those things we want to keep people posted to, but it's an important change, and if you're a landlord, I encourage you to reach out to me, and we can talk about those kind of very, very important changes.
You also mentioned concern about what you call California creep.
Yeah, California creep isn't a person that you meet out there. California creep is actually when a series of bad legislation starts coming out of California, particularly San Francisco, Seattle, and while Seattle is not California, it comes out of the West Coast. And these kind of ideas start to permeate, and local legislators go, well, this is a really good idea because it worked in San Francisco. Well, anyone who's from Chicago knows that San Francisco is not Chicago. And we've seen some of those things. And I think one of those things that emerged was a thing called rent control. And we have not had rent control in this city since right after World War II. And Will Guzzardi raised the issue, and I think he raised the public debate about this issue about rent control. Housing affordability is very important. But we think rent control is not going to be taken up, at least in this General Assembly. But we know it's an ongoing issue. But we're hopeful that while politicians are looking at fixes like rent control or otherwise to make things work, if we're going to have an affordable city in Chicago, why don't we have an affordable building code? Those are the kind of things I think we need to look at as we start really talking about and dealing with the ramifications of gentrifying neighborhoods and things like that. Chicago needs density and an affordable building code. The combination of those two things, I think, will work. The other thing I think a lot of folks forget is there's a city west of Western, south of Roosevelt Road called Chicago, and there is affordability in those neighborhoods. And I think it's worthwhile not only for people to take a look at those neighborhoods, but we've urged our members, our real estate developers and realtors, to really investigate those neighborhoods, improve those buildings, and make those part of the housing stock of what I believe is the greatest city in the country.
And we're seeing development in the South Loop, for example, that, you know, how long has it taken for that kind of development to take place there?
Well, it's taken South Loop a long time. It's taken Bronzeville a long time. It's taken Bridgeport a long time. It's, you know, but we need to start looking at our biggest asset that we have in the city, which is land. We still have land in Chicago. You don't have to go that far out of the loop to start realizing that there are great developable neighborhoods that need density. You only need to look at the shrinking South Side as an example. Where we're losing population, and I think a story came out this week talking about population loss. there's opportunities for density, and I think we need to take a look at those. And again, you know, I think going back to what Senator Biss said, you know, we need jobs and job creation, but we also need to admit that there's other places we can develop, and it's not just downtown.
Well, and speaking of community and neighbors and those kinds of things, I know one thing, too, as far as the budget gets put together in Washington is...
That's community development block grant funds. Right. I mean, the biggest thing, you know, when we talk about the budget items, boy, the thing that scares me the most is CDBG. As you know, I used to run economic development in Taylor Street in Chicago's Little Italy, and those CDBG funds, those are absolutely critical to some of the great work we did at the Roosevelt Ashland Shopping Center, redeveloping the streetscape of Taylor Street, really making that a great neighborhood to live, work, and play. Losing those funds in neighborhoods that desperately need those funds is going to be a problem as we try to make Chicago a great place. So I am certain our Illinois delegation, not just Democrats, but Republicans, are going to fight for those CDDB funds.
Well, but I mean, they're important nationally.
And, oh,
and
of course
they are. I see that as an item. How realistic that would go away?
Well, you know,
I know it's easy to say that, but if
I'm concerned about them. I mean, I think one of the things that was said in the budget briefing was they haven't proven up real well. And I think you've got situations across the country where CDBG funds haven't proven up well, where that investment isn't showing a return on investment. That's sometimes a hard press. Economic development doesn't happen overnight in Chicago. It happens over a series of efforts, a series of things. And those things take time. At the end of the day, those things take time. And I know they work in Chicago. I know they've worked in Illinois. And again, I hope we take that message to the Hill. I know I'll take that message to the Hill in May.
That's Brian Bernadone, my good friend, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors, Cubs historian, as well as noted Sven Gulli fan.
Hey, if anyone is listening that watched Sven Gulli last night, I think you would know that those were some beautiful prints of Dracula. I've never seen them look that good, but you are really seeing a master do his job with Sven Gulli. I think the best work he's ever done in his career is happening right now. I urge people to watch that, watch MeTV on Saturday nights at 9 o'clock and see his program. More importantly, you get to see Abbott and Costello with the Invisible Man next week. And it really is great stuff. It's great family broadcasting and it's great Chicago broadcasting. I love supporting Chicago legends. And Sven is definitely one of them.
Thanks, Brian, for stopping in this morning.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.